So today's chapter is chapter 14, Hello Grandmama. And like I said last time, I'm only going to read half of the chapter today because it's quite a long one. So, as soon as I was out of the ballroom, I took off like a flash. I streaked down to the corridor, went through the lounge and the reading room and the library and the drawing room and came up the stairs. Up the stairs I went, jumping quite easily from one to the other, keeping well in against the wall all the time. "Are you with me, Bruno?" I whispered. "Right here," he said. My grandmother's room and my own were on the fifth floor. It was quite a climb, but we made it without meeting a single person on the way because everyone was using the lift. On the fifth floor, I raced along the corridor to the door of my grandmother's room. A pair of her shoes were standing outside the door to be cleaned. Bruno was alongside me. "What do we do now?" he said. Suddenly, I caught sight of the chambermaid coming along the corridor towards us. I saw at once that she was the one who had reported me to the manager for keeping white mice. Not, therefore, the sort of person I would want to meet in a present condition. "Quick," I said to Bruno, "hide in one of those shoes." I hopped into one shoe and Bruno hopped into the other. I waited for the maid to walk past us. She didn't. When she came to the shoes, she bent down and picked them up. In doing this, she put her hand right inside the one I was hiding in. When one of her fingers touched me, I bit it. It was a silly thing to do, I know, but I did it instinctively, without thinking. The maid let out a scream that must have been heard by ships far out in the English Channel, and she dropped the shoes and ran out like the wind down the corridor. My grandmother's door opened. "What on earth is going on out here?" she said. I darted between her legs and into the room, and Bruno followed me. "Close the door, Grandmama," I cried. "Please hurry." She looked around and saw two small brown mice on the carpet. "Please close it," I said, and this time she actually saw me talking and recognised my voice. She froze and became absolutely motionless. Every part of her body, her fingers and hands and arms and head, became suddenly as stiff as a marble statue. Her face turned even paler than marble and her eyes were stretched so wide I could see the whites all around them. Then she started to tremble. I thought she was going to faint and fall over. "Please close the door quickly, Grandmama," I said. "That awful maid might come in." She somehow managed to gather herself together enough to close the door. She leaned against it, staring down at me, white-faced and shaking all over. I saw tears beginning to come out of her eyes and go dribbling down her cheeks. "Don't worry, Grandmama," I said. "Things could be a lot worse. I did get away from them. I'm still alive. So is Bruno." Very slowly, she bent down and picked me up in one hand. Then she picked Bruno up in the other hand and put us both on the table. There was a bowl of bananas in the centre of the table and Bruno jumped straight into it and began tearing away with his teeth at one of the banana skins to get the fruit inside. My grandmother grasped the arm of her chair to steady herself, but her eyes never left me. "Sit down, dear Grandmama," I said. She collapsed into her chair. "Oh, my darling," she murmured, and now the tears were really streaming down her cheeks. "Oh, my poor, sweet darling, what have they done to you?" "I know what they've done, Grandmama, and I know what I am. But the funny thing is that I don't honestly feel especially bad about it. I don't even feel angry. In fact, I feel rather good. I know I'm not a boy any longer, and I never will be again. But I'll be quite all right as long as there is always you to look after me." I was not trying to console her. I was being absolutely honest about the way I felt. You might think it is odd that I wasn't weeping myself. It was odd. I simply can't explain it. "Of course I'll look after you," my grandmother murmured. "Who is the other one?" "That was a boy called Bruno Jenkins," I told her. "They got him first." "Where did it happen?" she whispered. "Where is the witch now? Is she in the hotel?" "Grandmama," I said. "It wasn't just one. It was hundreds. They're all over the place. They're right here in the hotel this very moment." She leaned forward and stared at me. You don't mean to tell me that they're holding the annual meeting right here in this hotel?" "They've held it, Grandmama. It's finished. I heard it all. And all of them, including the Grand High Witch herself, are downstairs now. They're pretending they're the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. They're all having tea with the manager." "And they caught you?" "They smelt me out," I said. "Dog's droppings, was it?" she said, sighing. "I'm afraid so, but it wasn't strong. They very nearly didn't smell me because I hadn't had a bath for ages." "Children should never have baths," my grandmother said. "It's a dangerous habit." I agree, Grandmama. She paused, sucking at her cigar. Do you really mean to tell me that they are all now downstairs having tea? She said. I'm certain of it, Grandmama. There was another pause. I could see the old glint of excitement slowly coming back into my grandmother's eyes, and all of a sudden she sat up very straight in her chair and said sharply, "Tell me everything, right from the beginning, and please hurry." I took a deep breath and began to talk. I told her about going to the ballroom and hiding behind the screen to do my mouse training. I told about the notice saying the RSPCC. I told her all about the women coming and sitting down and how the small woman who appeared on the stage and took off her mask, but when it came to describing what her face looked like underneath the mask, I simply couldn't find the right words. "It was horrible, Grandmama," I said. "Oh, it was so horrible. It was like something that was going rotten." "Go on," my grandmother said. "Don't stop." Then I told her about the others taking off their wigs and their gloves and their shoes, and how I saw before me a sea of bald, pimply heads, and how the women's fingers had little claws and how the feet had no toes. My grandmother had come forward in an armchair so that she was sitting right on the edge of it. Both her hands were cupped over the gold knob of the stick that she had always used when walking, and she was staring at me with eyes as bright as two stars. Then I told her how the Grand High Witch had shot out the fiery, white-hot sparks and how they had turned one of the other witches into a puff of smoke. "I've heard about that," my grandmother cried out excitedly, "but I never quite believed it. You were the first non-witch ever to see it happening. Is the Grand High Witch's most famous punishment? It is known as getting fried. All the other witches are petrified of having it done to them. I am told that the Grand High Witch makes it a rule to fry at least one witch at each annual meeting. She does it in order to keep the rest of them on their toes." "But they don't have any toes, Grandmama." "I know they don't, my darling, but please go on." So then I told my grandmother about the delayed action mouse maker, and when I came to the bit about turning all the children of England into mice, she actually leapt out of her chair shouting, "I knew it! I knew they were brewing up something tremendous! We've got to stop them," I said. She turned and stared at me. "You can't stop witches," she said. "Just look at the power that terrible Grand High Witch has in her eyes alone. She could kill any of us at any time with those white-hot sparks of hers. You saw it yourself." And that's the point I'm going to stop at now. So the next time we read it, I'll read the second half of chapter 14, Hello Grandmama. But I'll set some tasks now for your novel study questions. I'll set a good, an amazing, and an awesome, like always.